Good morning and welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health. This is where we highlight the groundbreaking work that is being done at JFK University Medical Center in Edison. It's part of the Hackensack Meridian Health Network. My name is Joel Katz, and joining me once again, a encore presentation of Dr. Jonathan Knowles. Jonathan is the Chief of Colorectal Surgery at JFK University Hospital in Edison. Good morning once again, Doctor.
Good morning, Joel. Thanks for having me back on.
It's yeah, great to have you back. Again. See, remember before you said, oh, you're never going to have me back. And I said, no, we will. So I was right. Let's jump right in. We're talking about colon cancer today because there's a recent article, and it's from NBC News, and it's here's the headline. Colon cancer is killing more younger men and women than ever. So that's pretty scary. What do we know? Yeah. Why the death rate is climbing due to colon cancer?
It's a pretty terrifying headline, and it made national news, as you said. This article is based on the annual cancer statistics. These are put out every year about all of the main cancers, the cause of death, and the changing patterns across the U.S. by the American Cancer Society. And one of the main findings this year is that we've found that in the last 20 years or so, more people under the age of 55, which in the world of cancer treatment is where we consider young, have been increasing steadily over those last 20, 25 years.
Now, is it strictly colon cancer or is it all cancers?
The patterns shift a bit, so across the board, and we expect that in cancer statistics. So overall, the number of people getting colon cancer is reducing, but in the under 55 age bracket, it's increasing. It's essentially almost doubled in the last 25 years. So some cancers are increasing across the board. That's breast, prostate cancer, liver cancer, kidney cancer. Mm-hmm. But for colorectal cancer, mortality is decreasing. Overall numbers are increasing. But what's really worrying us is that it's become the leading cause of cancer death, colorectal cancer, in the under 55 age group, in the under 50 age group, for men, and the second leading cause of cancer death for women. So if you're a millennial or a Gen Z person, so you're born after the 90s, you're two times more likely to have colon cancer and four times more likely to have rectal cancer than someone who was born in the 1950s. So it's pretty stark information.
And what is causing this? I mean, I guess if we knew what caused it, it wouldn't be happening, right?
Well, you're right. That is the million-dollar question. But with all of these things and with cancer things, knowing what's causing it isn't always the same as being able to stop it happening. Because in general, things that cause or influence big patterns in cancer incidence are lifetime exposure events. So you get something called a birth cohort effect. In other words, a group of people who are born around about the same time are probably exposed to similar environmental factors. Those are going to be, you know, dietary or air quality or water quality, and those things will influence those people in a similar way. But it doesn't mean that everyone is going to be getting colon cancer or breast cancer or prostate cancer. What it's doing is it's increasing the likelihood for those people who have been exposed to those things. And the scary thing is we don't really know for colorectal cancer what those things are. We know some things, but we still don't know how that fits into the pattern of increasing risks for younger people. So what do we know? Well, we know that diet is important. Processed meats, smoked meats, cigarettes are not so good. We know that there's a protective element from dietary fiber, fruit and vegetables. There's a lot of people working on what we call ultra-processed foods, and these have been making the news a lot as well. What the feeling is there are certainly some studies, there's one in Italy and there's a few other studies that show that these do increase the rates of colorectal cancer and some other cancers like breast cancer. But we don't really understand what it is about those that's doing it.
Okay. Yeah, that was my question. Like, do we know why that's the case? We're talking about something simple as deli meat, right? You get some sliced turkey at the deli. That's a processed meat. And that is, and I've heard this a lot over the past few years. That's the first thing you said, processed meats.
Processed meats. Yeah. I know. And you know, let's just reassure the people listening that your turkey sandwich from the deli is not going to kill you. Look at these, it's a good start, right? Because that's not great. I like a sandwich and I'm a pretty much a good fan of processed meats. But the thing is, it's about balance. And do you have enough of the good things and occasional bad things? Or are you having a lot of the bad things and very few of the protective things?
Mm-hmm. So if that's all you're eating.
And that's exactly. And I think that's the real, risk. So are you having your deli sandwich every day, and does it have no salad in it and a lot of mayonnaise in it, and it has no bran in the bread? All of a sudden, your diet contains a lot of non-protective things. So it lacks protective elements and has a lot of elements that may put you at increased risk. So, we don't really know exactly what's the components of these ultra-processed foods that may be bad and increasing colorectal cancer. And part of the problem with that is they're not one thing. If you look at the ingredients of what's considered an ultra-processed food, you could look at the ingredients of mayonnaise. It's got an extraordinary list of things in the ingredients. And those things are what make it defined as ultra-processed. But we don't know what the individual things in there are that may be causative.
And you don't know how it would affect certain individuals either. It's you can have two. If you took two people who were born at the same time and they lived the same life in the same place and ate the exact same foods, one could get colorectal cancer and then another may not. It's different. It's inexplicable.
Exactly. And that really comes down to our fundamental understanding of how cancers like colorectal cancer work. So the reason that it's more common in people who are older is because it's based on the division of the cells within your body. Okay, so the colon, the rectum, they have cells in them that form the lining that is constantly being shed and replenished, just like your skin is. And it comes out as part of your fecal material. Now, the longer you're alive for, the more chance there is of something going wrong when those cells divide. And that's how cancers start. And in fact, although I can't tell you exactly why more young people are getting it, we've understood colon and rectal cancer development since the 1920s. And I don't want to plug my own country, but two guys called Lockhart, Mummery, and Jukes in 1928 worked out that colon cancer comes from polyps. And they also worked out that as the polyps change, they become more likely to become cancer. And then some guys at the Mayo, actually Mayo himself, worked out that it's even more detailed than that. We know that if you have one genetic alteration that randomly occurs, that isn't going to cause cancer. You need about five or six different genetic changes to go from a polyp to a true cancer. So although that's quite simple and we can see polyps getting bigger, we can follow genetic changes in them and see how they become a cancer from a benign polyp that can be easily removed during colonoscopy. If you think that each of those genetic changes will be influenced by environmental factors, and each of those genetic changes is increased by the number of times the cells in your body are dividing. So the longer you're alive, the more times your cells divide, the more time there is for things to go wrong. And then environmental factors will influence the risk of those changes occurring. And that's why you don't get two twins who are identical otherwise and live the same lifestyle getting cancer, because there remains a large amount of chance. Something has to randomly go wrong, but you can influence the underlying risk of that happening.
Right, and they're not living exact. I mean, maybe in the beginning they are, but eventually they go off and do different things, eat different things, so you can't really measure that. But, as you said, we don't know why it's happening to younger people, but this, what you just explained, is happening to them sooner than it normally would in a human being.
Yeah, and one of the responses to that has been to reduce the screening age for colonoscopy from 50 to 45, because what's worrying about young people and colorectal cancer is they have worse outcomes. The cancer's prevented at a later stage, and the stage is something that allows us to define your prognosis. So your prognosis is worse. And often they're struggling to get diagnosed, and they spend a significant amount of time pre-diagnosis with symptoms that don't get picked up. And partly that's a medical issue. If you've spent years of training expecting only to see people really in their 70s, 80s, and 90s with colorectal cancer, why are you going to think somebody who's 32 that you see in your primary care practice has colorectal cancer when the symptoms sound benign to you? So it's a tough scenario to work out how we can shift the balance, but changing the screening age is a very good start.
Yeah, getting a screening early is important, but the article also points out that younger people are, I mean, this is just common knowledge, that less likely to have health insurance. That's a problem in many ways, but in the beginning it is they wouldn't go and get a screening because they don't have the insurance to pay for it. And then if they do go and something is found, then they really get into a financial difficulty.
Yeah, and again, it's a huge issue. Healthcare disparity, it's worse than that, because the people who have least access to healthcare have the highest rates of young onset colorectal cancer. So it's compounded by this, and that is such a huge, complicated problem. And it's a problem in America, but it's a worldwide issue that we are better at looking after people who can seek healthcare easily, and we're not very good at serving the people who maybe need us most.
Yeah.
And that's a tough problem. I definitely can't fix that for you this morning.
Right, right. Dr. Jonathan Knowles, Chief of Colorectal Surgery at JFK University Hospital in Edison. So we talked about getting screened early. What else can one do to prevent this, or try and prevent this from happening at an early age or at all?
I think symptom vigilance is very important. So that the symptoms that are associated with colorectal cancer, it doesn't mean that you have it, but it does mean that you should seek help, are bleeding or blood in the stool, or when you pass a motion, diarrhea, some persistent loose stool, anemia, which means the levels of your red blood cells are low, and abdominal pain, which we didn't think particularly was associated with colorectal cancer, but it seems to be more of a relevant symptom in a younger age group.
Pain of any kind, you're going to want to, consistent pain, you'd want to get checked out.
That's it. And I think really with all of these things, you're looking for something that has changed and persisted for really more than 2 weeks.
So we don't really know why this is happening to younger people, but I still want to ask you. We don't know why it's happening, so I guess I can't really ask you why you think it's happening.
You can. Just because we don't know exactly, we have some very in-depth understanding of how the colon works, and there's lots of new and interesting things. And in fact, one of the things that we're getting particularly interested in is something called the microbiome. And what that means is the interaction from your gut bacteria which you see all over the TV, right? Everyone's talking about health drinks containing good bacteria. Most of these guys, these bacteria, they live in your colon and rectum. Mm-hmm. And they interact with the material in your stool and the material in your diet and release products that are good and bad that are absorbed into your bloodstream or through the lining of the intestine. And it's this interaction between what we're eating, what we're drinking, what the gut microbes are in balance or not in balance are doing, and how your immune system then processes that. So the cause of this is almost certainly going to be that interaction, right? It's what the balance of things are that are that gut bacteria are exposed to, what kind of gut bacteria you have, and what they then do with those agents that they're exposed to. And then finally, how those end products interact with the lining of your intestine.
Yeah, so what can, you know, this article also refers to, or it talks about a very young person who got colon cancer. And what can a young person do? Someone listening right now, let's say they're in their 30s. Is there, other than getting the screening, what can they do to help prevent them from getting this or any type of cancer? But let's talk about colorectal cancer.
So I think the first thing is do your best to live a healthy life. And that's much harder to do than it is to say. We're constantly exposed to sweetened drinks, our salami sandwich and hot dogs. And these things, you know, they really are things that we should have as an occasional treat, rather than part of our weekly dietary routine. Exercise, eat fruit, eat vegetables, try to stay healthy and relatively stress-free. And again, virtually impossible things to do, but we know that people who have cancer diagnosis and have a healthy, active lifestyle respond better to treatment and have better long-term outcomes. Mm-hmm. So, if you want to reduce your risk, take on board a healthy lifestyle and understand that your mental health has been shown to have an impact in your ability to recover and your outcome too. So, you know, we're our own worst enemies here, Joel, aren't we? We want to earn the next pay packet and we want to go to work and we want to get these things done. And then something like cancer arrives and your whole world shifts. And I think America in many ways is one of the hardest places for that to happen. You know, where's the space for people to recover from their cancer and get better? Because it takes an entire change in attitude towards putting yourself and your health before all of these other things. And that's not easy to do. You know, you have family and children, you have people who depend on you, particularly in these young age groups, and you can be put in a very, very difficult situation.
Now, you mentioned stress as one of them, and it's the stress is one of the causes. And then when you, if you're diagnosed, that causes even more stress, and you need to relieve stress to help with the healing. So it's a tough situation.
So tough. And the first thing is get help. And there are lots of people that can help and provide support, and that's both medical support, financial support, psychological support. You know, even though these cancers are still pretty rare in young people, you're not alone. This is not the first time that us at JFK will have looked after somebody who's 30 with colon or rectal cancer. So we know how to help you, and that's really the first thing, is get some help, see the right people, and then let us share some of that burden.
Right. So if they come to your office, they come to JFK University Hospital, and they are diagnosed with colorectal cancer, where does it go from there? After, of course, that you share the information that nobody wants to hear.
Yeah. So the next step is to stage the cancer. So that's usually done by a combination of CT scans and PET scans they've usually already had a colonoscopy, but it may be that they need another colonoscopy. Mm-hmm. And then it's another conversation. And the modalities that we use predominantly for cancer treatment are surgery. So most of these are surgically treated. And the outcomes are still pretty good. And as I said, you know, overall, we're getting better and better and better in reducing the number of cancer deaths. And surgery is getting better and better and better, so that we're using less and less temporary ostomy bags, minimally invasive surgery, robotics, and laparoscopic surgery. And that's allowing people to get back to their daily lives and back to work much quicker. Sometimes we're using radiotherapy and chemotherapy either before surgery or after surgery. And sometimes we can't do surgery because the cancers are too advanced. But most of them are surgically treatable and curable.
Most of them are. Now, that you mentioned you stage the cancer. Is it 1 through 4? Is that how? Is that what you mean by
right.
stage?
Yeah.
Exactly. And when you say it's too far along for surgery, what stage would that be? Is that 4 or is 3 also a possibility?
Well, no. So stage 3 is still very much curable by surgery, and so is stage 4 now. We've got very good at treating what we call metastatic cancer. So it's none of it is beyond scope of living a long and satisfying life, and mostly we have an option to cure, but not always. If the stage 4 disease is very advanced, then won't be a surgical option. But the advances in chemotherapy and immunotherapy, which essentially is a type of chemotherapy that changes the way the cells behave in a tailored fashion, they have really revolutionized stage 4 colorectal cancer care.
Right. So just because surgery is not an option, that doesn't mean that healing is not a possibility.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. So because when I hear stage 4, and I guess that's what a lot of people think, oh, it's stage 4. And it's not hopeless at any stage is what you're saying. And that's great news.
And that's it. And then, you know, it's getting, the treatment is getting more complicated. And the algorithms of what we can do for people. And that's why you need to get your treatment at specialist places done by specialists, because it's no longer possible to understand the options available as a single individual. You know, I work with surgical oncologists, with oncologists, with radiotherapy specialists, as well as specialists who are looking at our imaging and pathology. And it takes all of us to work out what the best next steps are.
Just to circle back, what we've been talking about, colon cancer is killing more younger men and women than ever. You can get a copy of this, if you missed it, if you're just tuning in, you can get a copy of this at any time on our website. And I'll give that information in just a couple of minutes, but I want to thank Dr. Jonathan Knowles, Chief of Colorectal Surgery at JFK University Hospital in Edison. Thank you for joining us once again, and thank you for all the information.
It's a pleasure, Joel. Thanks for having me back. Nice to talk to you again.
For more information, you can go to jfkmc.org, or for a podcast of this show, go to foxsportsradionewjersey.com. JFK Spotlight on Health, brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health. Keep getting better. I'm Joel Katz, and we will talk again next week.